Well, next week is what? Easter. All right. Very good. I'm impressed, you know. Not so much that you know your theology, but at least you know your calendar. Actually, I'm very impressed with the depth of the theological knowledge and conviction that's in these people here. Oh, it's a wow. Wow. What a privilege. Wow. So next week is Easter. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're going to talk about how he rose and conquered sin and death and hell and the grave, how that power is made available to us. Today, I want to back up just a hair from that. Even though this is Palm Sunday, we did talk about that triumphal entry a couple weeks ago. Today, I want to talk about, rather than the resurrection, I want to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That day when he hung on those beams with nails through his wrists and his feet. And as he was bleeding, and that blood just poured down his arms and down his body, down from his forehead where the crown of thorns was, and just drenched him and then ran into the sand around the base of the cross and went into the earth as he hung there offering himself as a sacrifice for us. If you can just picture that day in your mind, that historic doesn't even touch it. That cataclysmic day, as Gene said, when the kingdom of God conquered the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins. Amen? Now, what does that mean? Christ died for our sins. What does it mean? Anybody? It is finished. I love that kind of talk. He took our place. He took the punishment that was due to us, you and I. Anybody else? He died for our sins. God's justice was fulfilled. God can't simply pretend that sin never happened. He loves us, but he can't simply pretend that we haven't done the things that we've done. He is a just judge. He must account for all transgressions. And the price must be paid. Praise God that Jesus hung and bled and died for us so that the justice of God can be satisfied, so that he can be both just and the justifier of those who believe. Anybody else? Yes, to restore us to fellowship with God, to take away everything that stands between us and Him. Because God is holy, and sin cannot dwell in His presence. And so Christ died so that blood could eliminate everything that stands between us and Him, that alienates us from Him, that wall of separation. The Bible says, your sins have separated you from God, and Christ died to remove that separation so that we can come into fellowship with Him once again, so that we can know God, so that we can not only know Him, but know Him intimately and enter into a relationship of the deepest love imaginable, a love of innocence where we stand before Him innocent like a young child before their father. And we can enjoy that paternal love that just envelops us and protects us and nurtures us and advocates for us and sweeps us up into His arms. And we can enjoy that fullness of His outpoured love for us. So, to summarize, yes, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How glorious that is! That ought to at least make you smile a little bit. If you can't shout, you can at least smile. You can at least kind of lighten up your countenance and say, man, I was condemned to hell. And my sins were the weight upon my soul that dragged me down and held me guilty before God. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ and His love for me, His suffering for me, that blood that He shed now cleanses my soul, reconciles me to God. Yes, we have all sinned and fallen short, but because Christ had no sin, because He was God in human flesh, come to rescue us, He could die in our place, take our punishment for us, and His blood could wash us clean. When we say that He died for our sins, He basically died for the three A's. I know, you're on right on the edge, right? What the heck is He talking about? He died for the three A's: our actions, our apathy, and our attitude. I thought I saw her saying that as I was saying, that's amazing. I'm impressed. Our actions, our apathy, and our attitude. He died for our actions, the things that we have done that we should not have done, the things we knew better that it was not right to do, and yet we did it anyway. All the hurtful, all of the mean things that, as we look back, that just make us cringe at the thought that we could be so selfish, so hurtful, so condemning. All of those words that, if God laid out our entire book of words that we have spoken in our life, how many of them would we cringe, make us want to hide, make us so ashamed and embarrassed because of the hurtful, the mean, malicious ways we've torn people down in our anger and in our wrath, and we just let fly whatever we thought would wound them the fastest and the quickest. Because it didn't matter. The point of the argument was lost at that point. We just wanted to strike back, and we said things that cut and tore and wounded. All of our speech, all of our actions, all of the things that we've done that we're ashamed of, that we're not holy, that we're so carnal and so selfish and so corrupt, that if they were put out on a screen, we couldn't even lift our head because of the weight of that shame and that guilt and that condemnation. All of those things that embarrass us, that all the things that we have done that we can't imagine. How could I have done such a thing? All of our actions, Christ has died for, has took upon Himself, no matter how dark, no matter how selfish, no matter how vile, corrupt, or filthy, Christ, in His love for you, passionately, devotedly took your sin upon Himself. All of our actions, but not only that, all of our apathy, all of the things that we should have done that we never did. And we could think about, well, you know, people in need that I could have helped and I didn't because I was too busy. It was just too inconvenient. And I was wrapped up in my world, so I just let them suffer because my convenience was more important than their suffering. We could think about all the things that we promised to do and we didn't do. All the broken promises. All the times that I said I would be there and I wasn't there. All the times that we said I'll do that and I didn't do that. All of the things that we didn't do because we just didn't care or we were just too distracted or just too self-centered or busy. All of those things that breaks the heart of God to see, because of our carelessness, Christ, because He loves us so very, very, very much, took the guilt for all of those things and said, God, hold me guilty instead. Yes, they should have kept that promise. Yes, they forgot to do that. Yes, they were too busy to do that. Hold me guilty instead, because I love them so much and I see in them something so far greater than where they are, that eclipses their very imagination. What He sees in us just compels that love, compels that action. And He gratefully, joyfully, the Bible says, endured the cross, despising the shame of it. Just in the face of the shame of our sins, He took it upon Himself because He saw something so brilliantly, gloriously, radiantly better that God had for us. He died for our actions, He died for our apathy, and He died for our attitudes. I know no one in here has ever had an attitude. our covetousness, which is a lack of gratitude before God. God, I don't appreciate what you've done for me because you didn't do this for me. Yeah, I don't care about all those other things. What about this? Our bitterness, when we are so resentful and angry, our anger itself, our carnal lust, and the unspeakable, unmentionable things that have gone through our mind and in our heart that we allow to just revel in, allowed ourselves to just glory in our shame. All of those things, so dark, so shameful, and yet Christ, because of what he saw in us, elect before the foundation of the world, Christ joyfully said, Father, hold me. Hold me in their place, guilty in their place, and let my death count for them. Let my suffering count for theirs. Let my blood take my righteousness and give it to them. I'll take their sin upon me. Take my standing before you and give it to them, and hold me guilty in their place, and pour out your wrath upon me so that they can be reconciled to us and be with us and be with you forever. Father, let me take their place. All of these things, our actions, our apathy, our attitudes, all these things make a man guilty before God. All these things make a man worthy of death. But praise God, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believed in him, put their faith in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Even though I have so far more than blown it, I have so made a wreck in my days, in my past years of my life, that I couldn't possibly account for it. Even though I've done terrible things for which I'm ashamed, the gospel, the good news. Everybody say good news. Good news. Say it like you mean it. Good news. The good news is that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. This is the offer of the gospel. This is the good news God offers to us. If I repent, that means I have a change of mind. If I stop making excuses and reasons and rationalizations as to why I did it and just say, God, I was wrong. I was wrong. I admit it. God, I want to be right so bad. I don't want to run from you anymore. I don't want to make excuses or rationalizations. I was wrong. I was so wrong. And I make no excuse. I make no reason. But I desire to live for you. I want to live right. I want to live for you and glorify you and see you fill my life with good things, God, with your goodness, with your holiness, with your beauty, Lord, with your compassion and love and tenderness. I want you in my life, and I was wrong. But God, I'm sorry, and if I could do it over, if you will give me this chance, God, I want to be right. God says if we simply repent, have a change of mind about our past, and then put our faith in Jesus Christ, and just believe that he died for those things, believe that he rose from the dead, believe that he loved me so much that he did in fact take my sin upon himself and die and suffer in my place so that I could go free, and then rise from the dead to prove that it's true, to conquer death, conquer sin, and make a place for me. If I simply put my faith in him, God says, I will save you. I can't earn it. I can't achieve it. I've already blown it. But because of the incredible, unspeakable love of our gracious God, he offers it to us as a free gift. A free gift. A free gift. No strings attached. It's free. Man. Ah! How good is that? Let me tell you, the day on August 30th, 1980, when he revealed the depth of my wickedness to me like I'd never known it before and showed me just how bad I had been. And I came out of that bathroom, out of that state of prayer, just in shock and in awe. And then went to that crusade where I heard about Jesus. That God would love someone like me so much that he would let nothing stand between us and gave up his only son just so I could be right. Wow, that's good news. That's good news. His free offer to us, repent of sin and put your faith in Christ, and life is yours. Life is yours. He will forgive me. He will declare me righteous. He will declare me righteous. He will make the decree, this man is righteous. This man is saved. He will adopt me as his own. He will give me an inheritance that endures forever, that's incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for me. He will give me a new name. He will give me a new standing. He will give me a new destiny. He will give me a new heart and a new life and a new spirit and a new relationship. He'll give me joy I never had, peace that passes understanding. He'll give me a covenant that provides for all of my needs through his riches in Christ. And he will love me and love me and love me and love me. And every time I come and knock on his door, he throws it open and said, what took you so long? I've been waiting for you. Come on in and feast at my table and taste and see that I am good and my love endures forever. Man, that's life. All the rest of the other stuff is junk, it's trinkets, it's garbage, it's destined for the fire. But God offers us the free gift of life in Christ. Thank you, Lord.